The scripture lesson is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh are against the flesh.
What?
Oh, but these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. This is the word of the Lord.
It's always a good Sunday when I get a chance to do a baptism, and always a good Sunday when I have a chance to be in the house of the Lord. I just would ask if you would pray with me. Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think that it was a great question that was asked at the beginning during the children's moment. Have you ever been angry? Right? I don't know if you were doing the same thing I was doing, but when she was asking those questions, have you ever been angry? I was thinking about the times I'd been angry. What do you do when you get angry? I was thinking about the times that I've been angry and I've done something that I've gone on to regret. One of those times was not too long ago. I was going to the bank, and I was going to go through the drive-thru, and my son, I think it was probably JoJo, was in the car with me. So we're going through the drive-thru, and I was one of those guys. You know, the guys that go through the bank drive-thru and have like 7 checks to deposit, and they haven't filled out the deposit slip or anything. So I get to the line, and I press the button, and I ask for a deposit slip. They send me over a deposit slip. Then I have to send it back and say, could you send me a pen too? They send me a pen, and I'm sitting out there, and I start to add these checks together, and I'm starting to sign the back, and, you know, I'm a little flustered. There's a lot of people behind me, and it's taking me a while. And I go to write on these checks, and someone honks their horn. And I'm like, oh, okay, I already know, you know. So I'm continuing to write on the check, and somebody honks their horn again. And not just twice, 3 times and 4 times they honk the horn. I'm like, what am I going to do, okay? And so here I am, the preacher, with his son in the front seat, and yet I am about to open up my car door and go back and talk to the person who continues to honk their horn. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. This is our second week in looking at the Old Testament hero. His name is Samson. And last week we talked about his great strength. Here he is, this hugely strong guy who can defeat a 1,000 enemies. And yet he has this great weakness. And we all know about the weakness with the hair. But in reality, his true weakness was that he was morally weak. He was spiritually weak, and what I want to focus on today is that he was emotionally weak. Samson was emotion-driven. Well, what does it mean to be emotion-driven? Maybe it means that you're in the line at the bank, and you're about to jump out of your car, even though you're the preacher, and go holler at somebody else in front of your kid. Maybe that's what it means. Forgive me, Lord. First of all, I want to say this. I believe that God gives us our emotions and that our emotions aren't bad. We feel with our emotions. Our emotions help us interpret our experience. So emotions in and of themselves aren't a bad thing at all. They're a good thing. It's a blessing that we have them. It's also important to realize that we process our emotions differently. My wife is fond of telling me that men are waffles and women are spaghetti, right? We think differently. We process our emotions differently. And she'll tell me, you just don't understand. Us women, we process our emotions through talking, okay? And I says, yes, and through talking, and through talking, and through talking, right? But men, on the other times, if I might generalize, instead of dealing with our emotions through talking, we often don't talk, and instead we feel like we just got to take charge and do something. It doesn't matter what we're going to do, anything, just do something. I just got to do something. Women talk about what they feel. men just actually go and do something, even when it's the wrong thing to do. I had a woman last week at Marquette Manor. I was giving this sermon, and I was saying that I was gearing it towards the men of the church and the problems that men face. And she said, Pastor, you don't think us women deal with the exact same things? She said, Pastor, I'm 92 years old, and I wrestle with this stuff daily. So even as I make a generalization, I truly believe that this is a message for all of us. And I believe that we all have to deal with how it is that we live out the emotions that sometimes drive us. So here it is. We know the right thing to do, but so often we let our emotions drive us to something different. Like this. I get home from work. I know I've been gone for a long time. It's time for me to spend some time with my wife and my kids. I know that's the right thing to do. And yet, because I'm emotionally drained, what will I do? I'll plop down in front of the TV, and I'll turn on the remote, and I will veg out in front of the TV and disengage, not even talk, right? Because I feel that that's what my emotions have led me to do, even though I know it's the opposite I should do. Or how about this? You know you've done the wrong thing. You absolutely know you're wrong. And the right thing to do is to go and apologize, right? And yet you're stirred up so much with emotions that it has you crossing your arms, right? And being upset and digging into the position that you know is wrong. You know you're wrong, but instead you're not going to change. You're just going to be stubborn, and you're going to get upset, and you might even yell and throw stuff. Why? Because you're driven by emotion. When I think about this, I don't think this is something brand new. I think that this has gone on ever since we were created. Remember the Apostle Paul? He says this, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I what? I do not do. But what I hate, what? I do. Can I tell you something? I think that right there, Paul is giving us a description of being emotionally driven. It feels tough, so I just give up, even though I don't want to give up. I said at the beginning I wasn't going to give up. Why? Because it was tough. I feel attacked, so I lash out. That's not what I want to do. I said I was going to be loving. I said I was going to be understanding. Why did I do that? I feel overlooked, and so I act out. Why did I do that? That's not the behavior I wanted to do. But I allowed myself to be driven by my emotions. In our youth corps program, we have philosophies that we live by. And one of our philosophies is this. Every action is a decision. Can you say that with me? Every action is a decision. No one can make you, you know, the kid would say, he made me hit him, or he made me say that. No, you chose to do that. However, it is true that when we just allow ourselves to be emotion-driven, then we are allowing ourselves to just respond, boom, or react as if someone is making us do these things. Again, there's nothing wrong with emotion. Feel them, but don't always allow them to drive you. Here's a reason why. Being emotionally driven keeps the focus on who? You, that's right. Too often we want to be the main character in our own story. We want it to be all about us. We want to win. We want to be the hero. But I'll let you in on a secret. We are never the main character in our own story. You know who is? God. God is always going to be the main character in our story. In the final chapters of your ups and downs, and your valleys and your mountaintop experiences, they are all about God. I remember when I was teaching my son, Zachary, to drive. He still doesn't have his driver's license, by the way. So I'm teaching Zachary to drive, and Zachary is managing curves. And when he manages his curves, here's what Zachary does. He looks right at the steering wheel and what's right in front of the car. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm looking 2 feet in front of the car at the turn. And so through his turn, he's constantly like this. Whoop, 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 whoop. You know, I'm like, son, no, no, no.
You don't just look right at what's right there in front of you. You got to keep your head up a little bit. You got to look beyond the curve. You got to drive into that curve. See what's coming beyond that. And I want to say the same thing is true when we experience our ups and downs, our tossing and our curves. We can't just look at the problem and just focus only on that. Look beyond that. See the main character in your story. Look to God's resources. Look to say, okay, everything didn't go the way that I planned, how I hoped. What am I going to do? Am I just going to constantly be emotionally driven and be upset and throw my life off in some ditch? Or do I look beyond this and say, okay, God, how can you help me through this curve? How can you help me? How can you be glorified even in my actions? Don't be emotionally driven. Instead, be led by the Spirit. Can you say that with me? Instead, be led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit when we don't find our directions by asking, what do I want or how do I feel, but what does God want for me? Galatians 5:17 was our scripture lesson, and it talks about this inner battle. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is contrary to our sinful nature. They are in what? Conflict with each other so that we do not do what we want. So when that emotion says, just lash out, just quit, just stop, just throw this, just destroy this, just break this relationship, the Spirit says, no. We're not going to focus just on what we feel. We're not just going to focus on what you think. We're going to look to a higher direction in our lives. Scripture says that it will lead us to being in conflict with our own desires. There's a wrestling that goes on, but when we live by the Spirit, we will never get lost. Being led by the Spirit keeps our focus on God. When I'm traveling somewhere I don't know how to get, I have GPS, and I'm one of those kind of guys, I have no shame in admitting I don't know where I'm going. No shame at all. I don't know where I'm going. I don't care if you're going to tell me just go east 5 miles and then turn. I'm not writing it down. I'm not listening. I'm like, give me the address, and I'm going to stick it in my phone. That's it. I don't want to try and follow all these crazy directions. Just give it to me. I put it in my GPS, and that's what I'm going to trust. That's what I'm going to do, right? I put the GPS right on my dashboard so that I can look right at it. My kids want to play the radio loud. I'm like, no, turn that off. I can't hear what the GPS is telling me to do, right? So I'm totally focused on which direction I'm going to go. Last week, I was going out to, never been there before, St. Francis Hospital in Mooresville. No idea where this place is. So I'm just driving and driving, following GPS, and my phone dies. I'm like, what? You know what I did? I kid you not. Immediately, I'm talking first gas station. I stopped in there. Did I go and ask for directions? Can you please tell me how to get to more? No. I get me a phone charger, and I charge my phone, and I sat there in the driveway till that thing came back on, right? I wasn't moving. Well, sir, it's not too hard to find. No. I'm waiting on this GPS to tell me how to get there, right? But Do I do the same thing with my life? No. Do I constantly keep God right before me to give me directions and guidance in my life? No. Do I turn off all the other distractions so that I can hear where God is leading and guiding me? No. Do I keep myself charged up daily and in the Word of God and energized so that I'm in tune with what God is telling me? No. To be honest, I don't do that enough. And when that happens, I can be tempted to be driven by my emotions instead of driven by God. And I think a case in point of this is Samson. Samson is driven by emotion time and time again, and we see it constantly has him getting lost. Last week, if you'll remember, we talked about how Samson was throwing a drinking party, even though one of his Nazirite vows was what? Don't get drunk, right? So here he was thinking, you know, well, that applies to someone else. It doesn't apply to me. He's having this party here because he's getting ready to celebrate. He's getting ready to marry this Philistine woman. There were many of the Philistines who were there, and Israel had been under the oppression and the rule of the Philistines for 40 years. And so here Samson is, and he's partying and drinking with the enemy. And Samson says, guys, let me tell you a riddle. He says, okay, we're going to have this battle of wit, but we're not just going to have a battle of wit. Let's put a wager on it, right? Because, of course, if men are going to get together, there's got to be some type of competition, right? We compete about everything. He says, I'll bet you 30 pieces of linen and 30 pieces of cloth that you can't figure this riddle out. And I'll even give you 7 days to figure it out. So last week we talked about Samson. He killed a lion that attacked him, right? He tore it right in two barehanded. Well, the next day he comes back, or a few days later he comes back, and he sees within the torn carcass of the lion that the bees have produced what? Honey. They come there, they made a hive, and they produced honey. And nasty old Samson dips his hand down into the tore up lion carcass and eats the honey right out of the lion carcass, even though one of his Nazirite vows was, don't have anything to do with things that are what? Unclean, right? Dead bodies and stuff. So Samson didn't tell anybody. He gave some of that honey to some other people as well too. And then he gives this riddle out. He says this, out of the eater, something to eat, and out of the strong, something sweet. Well, we all know what he's talking about, right? The eater is the lion, and the thing that's sweet is the honey. But the Philistine guys, they've got no clue about what he's talking about, and they are upset. 3 days pass, and they can't figure out the riddle. They're so upset. So they say, you know what? We're going to go ask Samson's wife-to-be. Go and figure out the riddle from him, and then you come and tell us. Trick him. Get the secret. So his wife plays Samson's emotions. He gives her the answers, and lo and behold, on the seventh day, when the bet is just supposed to be over, the Philistines come up and they say to Samson, well, what could possibly be sweeter than, let's say, honey? And what could possibly be stronger than a lion? And Samson is furious. He's furious that they figured out the riddle. He's furious that he lost. He's furious that he's going to have to pay up. And he's furious that he trusted his wife to be. As I think about this, I think, man, inside of him is building up all of this emotion. And this emotion and this anger and all these situations is telling him, do something. Act. Do something. Samson goes to another town and he kills 30 Philistine men. He strips them of their clothing and gives it to the men who've solved the riddle. Samson goes and he takes the lives of 30 people who had nothing to do with this riddle at all. And then look at what the next line in the Bible says. It says this in Judges 14, 19, and 20. Burning with what? Can we just stop right there? Because, I mean, that really says a lot. Burning with anger. Whatever comes after that's not going to be good, right? Burning with anger. Joe Johnson, it's not going to be good, right? Burning with anger, Kay McKinney, it's not going to be good. Burning with anger, it says this, Samson went to his father's house. And then look at this next line. And Samson's wife was what? Given to the friend who had attended him at the wedding. Wait a minute, what? What does this mean? What just happened? Samson loses the bet. He leaves the wedding before it gets started. He runs out and he kills 30 people, strips them of their clothes, comes back to the wedding, throws the bloody clothes down and says, here's what you get. And then finds out that as he's left the wedding and the bride and her father are there embarrassed that this guy has gone off on this terror raid and left them at the altar looking crazy, that the father said, there will be a wedding and my wife will marry somebody. And his wife-to-be ends up marrying someone else. Well, you can imagine. Samson, who's already hot-headed and filled with anger, he comes back. When he finds out that he's lost his fiancée, he turns to rage. And he runs out, and the scripture says that he grabs the foxes, and he ties their tails together, and he puts a torch between them, and he runs them out into the fields of the Philistines and causes this huge destruction and burns down their fields. And the Philistines respond in anger by killing the woman that Samson was supposed to marry. So here we see this strong man, Samson, being completely driven by emotion. He's not thinking things through. When he makes mistakes, he doesn't learn from those mistakes. He's just driven by more and more anger. And think about it. What does Samson really have to be angry about? He's the one who ignored the advice of his parents when they said this is the wrong woman to marry. He's the one who taunted the Philistines with the riddle and the wage. He's the one who told the answer. He's the one who left his wife at the altar to go and kill innocent men. He's the one who burned down their fields. In other words, he's mad at the world, but in reality, most of the blame belongs to who? Samson. And I think that there's times when we're like that. By our own hands, we create destruction because our emotion gets the best out of us. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. I hate everything about it. In reality, maybe we're just mad at ourselves that we didn't apply ourselves. I hate my spouse. They don't meet my needs. He doesn't meet my physical needs. He doesn't meet my emotional needs. Well, in reality, maybe it might be that you haven't been what you're supposed to be yourself. I'm tore up at God. I'm so mad. I'm so mad that God led me to this in my life. I deserve more in my life. And maybe in reality, what we're really upset is that we haven't followed from the get-go what God wants. We're being led by our emotions. And our emotions make us focus on ourselves instead of focusing on God's direction in our lives.
I went to the bank with my son, and I'm in line. I didn't do right. I hadn't had my stuff ready. I have a couple of checks to fill out and a bank deposit slip, and I start to write the deposit slip, and someone honks their horn. And I'm looking back, writing some more. Someone honks their horn again, a second, and a third time. And I'm just like getting upset. And my son, Zachary, or JoJo, is riding in the car with me. And he says, "It's you, Dad." And I said, "I know they're honking at me, but I can't hurry this up." And he says, no, Dad, it's you." And I said, "I know they're yelling at me. I'm about to go out there and get them." And he says, "Dad, no, stop, it's you. When you're riding on the steering wheel and you're honking your own horn." I was honking the horn and getting madder, right? And then I was honking the horn and getting madder and madder. And I'm about to, can you imagine? Pastor Joe jumps out of his car and yells at an innocent person behind me, "Why do you keep honking at me?" Driven by emotion gets us lost. Being driven by the Spirit leads us in the direction that God would have us go. Proverbs 5 and 6. Says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Amen.